This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
No political cost for noise.
Well, she pays a little bit of political cost, and let me bring this up with you, Juan. Philippe Reynders, a longtime aide to Hillary Clinton, blasted Gillibrand for what she said. He tweeted this. Let's put it up. Over 20 years, you, Gillibrand, took Clinton's endorsements, money, and seat. Hypocrite. Interesting strategy for 2020 primaries. Best of luck. This issue of sex harassment is not only splitting Republicans, Roy Moore and Mitch McConnell, it's also splitting Democrats.
Right, and the power here is the charge of hypocrisy. And I think that's why Bill Clinton comes to the fore so quickly, because the charge would be, oh, Democrats, have you been as tough on your sexual harassers as you're asking Republicans to be on theirs? And so immediately you've seen pieces in Vox, the New York Times, Gillibrand coming forward. There's a Democratic congressman who said, oh, yeah, Clinton should have been ousted. I think one of the keys for me is Democrats wanting to say that we retain some moral authority in speaking on this issue, as Republicans try to impose what I think at times, as you and Jessica Tarlov were discussing, a false equivalency between, let's say, a Roy Moore and even a Bill Clinton. I just think that, you know, at the moment, the politics tribal.
I can understand the difference or the distinction between Moore and Franken. How is there a distinction between
I don't think, even if you wanted to say Monica Lewinsky was an intern, a young person, and there was a huge power differential between the President of the United States and an intern, no one was suggesting that she was beneath the age of consent. And she said,
much more
well, I'm just saying in that the one that he was impeached for, because he was impeached.
Well, he was impeached for lying.
Well, he was impeached over this case, lying about this issue. And I think that it's very important for people. Part of the Reynolds response was millions of dollars were spent investigating and impeaching this man. And now you have a situation here where there's some people, including Roy Moore, who want to point at Mitch McConnell and claim there's a Republican conspiracy, much less Democrats or the elite media from Washington trying to tell the voters of Alabama what to do.
The Bill Clinton situation.
Boy, I'll tell you, did you get anything out of it? You know, Juan Williams is like all over the place. You know, in some of this situation, trying to talk about some equivalency here. Look, that is bad. I think trying to force a round peg in a square hole is always difficult when you're trying to protect and defend the indefensible. President Clinton at the time, what he did was unconscionable. We maintain that it set into motion some things that I think we're still dealing with to this day, and it's come back for a reason. Now, we as voters and we as citizens and as individual people have a decision to make faced with, you know, the immoral realities from one coast to the other, from Hollywood to New York to Minnesota to the Beltway. What are we going to do about this? You know, lives have been ruined. They've been compromised. I think these women who have lost opportunities along the way because they've been browbeaten and been threatened, you know, and careers that they had hoped to be involved in could have been, you know, somebody that could have been helping we, the voters, out who went to Washington to invest their skill set on behalf of we the people, and this is how they're treated. Thank you very much. And the rest of the stuff, you know, the $15 million in hush money, this slush fund that a lot of congressmen, they say they don't know anything about. You're kidding me, right? You don't know anything about this? This has been taking place. There have been payouts. I mean, are you that busy and that disengaged that you don't know what's happening? That there haven't been flags, you know, rising up a lot sooner about these issues that are happening right in your very own camp. That seems a little odd to me. I don't know about you. Anyway, the conversation will continue. Thank you for being with us. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. And we're going to talk World War II here with Craig Chapman. Craig is an author, and his new book is titled Battle Hardened, An Infantry Officer's Harrowing Journey from D-Day to VE Day. Craig Chapman, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Well, good morning. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share some time with you this morning.
Yeah, let's talk about Battle Hardened. Give us a summary here for our audience so we can get them up to speed, and then we'll get into the details.
Well, sure. This is a story about an American infantry officer who happened to be my father. It follows his footsteps in campaign to defeat Nazi Germany in World War II, starting at Utah Beach and going all the way to the German Alps. But I do want to emphasize that it's not just a series of personal war stories. This book integrates his oral history, his letters, and a lot of archival research so that we can actually see what, when, where, how, and how well he and the other members of his unit fought in the war to defeat Nazi Germany. So it, I think it does a fairly decent job of just showing what it takes to fight, survive, and win what we would call a high-intensity global conflict.
You know, without a doubt. Craig, if your father was anything like my dad, who served in World War II in the European theater with General Patton, these stories were hard to come by. There was something about that generation that wanted to leave, you know, what happened in Europe. In a sense, stay in Europe. It's hard to get some of these stories out.
It is. My father was a little different. He was very open, and I have to say, matter of fact, in describing his war experiences, which may seem a little strange, but he would sit down at the dinner table, we'd be talking about something, and a war story might pop up in just casual conversation. Mm-hmm. Going through his letters, going through the research and cataloging his war stories, it became apparent that somehow my father could look at the war, the conflict around him in objective terms without getting his emotions roiled. And I guess that's how he kept his sanity.
I was going to say that's probably helpful, you know, as opposed to, you know, people holding it back. As I said, my dad was reticent. I mean, he would talk about it, the way he would talk about it, because the other thing was he was a medic. So what he had to deal with was, you know, he was right there, you know, life and death dealing with the, with that. So it had to have, understandably, a profound effect on him. And probably some of this stuff, it's hard to get your brain around, even though you're living it. And maybe for your dad being able to talk about it, it helped him process what he experienced. I mean, what was he? He was a teenager when he entered the Army,
no,
right?
He was no older than a teenager. He was a college graduate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He had gotten an engineering degree from the University of California.
Mm-hmm.
But he volunteered for the infantry. He was focused at that point in time of, you know, proving his own sense of worth in a dangerous mission. But he went on to experience probably a lot more than his share of that. He was not a withdrawn or emotionless person in general. You know, I knew him as a very composed, fatherly figure, very loving. But I somehow he encapsulated his emotions and focused on his mission and on the objectives. And that's what made him an effective combat commander, and mm-hmm. I guess kept his, you know, kept him sane and given all the madness that was going on around him.
Exactly. Well, Craig, as we know today, and we've often reported on this show, at any one time, you know, maybe a 1%, if you want to be generous and round up, 1% of America serves in the military. You know, we look back and there's less than 3.5% of the brave men and women who served our country in World War II are still alive today. We're losing veterans, World War II veterans, every day. And the stories that they have in their hearts, the experiences, are just rich. And I'm grateful that you took the time and the commitment to document your father's experience here. I would say it's a blessing in many ways to really hear you know, these stories and you know, that you captured from your father's letters and other anecdotal resources.
Right, it's something I'm very sensitive about. Is that immediately after the war, and you know, when you and I were growing up, there were so many, you know, parents who had been in the war that our exposure to the history of World War II was mostly a verbal history. You know, we could ask, well, where were you? What did you see?
Mm-hmm.
And now that is rapidly disappearing. And we are coming very close to the day in which the, quote, history of World mm-hmm. War II will be only the written accounts.
Exactly.
So this is a primary effort here, is that we have such a rich oral history from my father, rather than just let that disappear. Myself and my brothers and even my sons, the whole family pitched in to say, well, what stories do we recall? And we cataloged I think around about 100 different anecdotes, little vignettes from my dad's oral history. And,
I think that what we can appreciate just from history in a general context is the further away we get from the actual event, things get lost in translation. And, you know, we're told, even in the Bible, that we are to remember, I think, in the Old Testament, 250 times. The reason we need to remember and we're reminded to remember so often is because we forget so easily. But as you say, with these stories that you're telling, that you're sharing, life experiences, you know, right there from your dad to you and to, you know, his grandchildren on down, we know that with each generation, we're going to lose a little bit of this precious legacy. But here we are today to enjoy it. And you've done a great job in documenting, you know, in battle hardened an infantry officer's harrowing journey from D-Day to VE Day. Let's talk about what he had to say about D-Day, Craig.
Well, he was in the 12th Infantry Regiment, the 2nd Battalion of the 12th Infantry. And they came ashore after the first few waves had already come in. he had an interesting little experience when he bumped into General Roosevelt, there who had landed with the first wave on Utah Beach.
Wow.
And General Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt Jr., took charge, and almost all the troops of the division, as they came ashore, were greeted by him, and he pointed them in different directions as to where they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And my father walked up, and he noticed that General Roosevelt had taken off his helmet. He was just standing there with his cane and a soft cap.
Oh.
So my father went up to the general and said, "General, you know, everybody's been told to keep their helmets on, and you're not wearing yours." And Teddy Roosevelt looked at my dad and smiled and just said, "Yeah, but I'm a general." And for those who might be familiar with Teddy Roosevelt Jr., you probably appreciate how typical that was of General Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely brave man. But he was not focused on formality or ceremony in the least. He was there to get the job done.
His father's son, no less.
Yeah, oh yes.
Without a doubt. Well, I am a general.
Had an incredible career by that time, too.
Yes, exactly. What else did your dad report?
Well, he went through just a tremendous amount of combat, and it's sort of amazing that he survived. He was in the front lines for 7 months. He was in the hospital for four of them.
When we're talking front lines, I mean, you're dodging bullets, and you're probably wondering why you're able to survive another day as men all around you are being blown up. As you say, the landing in Utah Beach, what he must have experienced coming in on that third wave, how much carnage was already there as he you know, trudged through the water to get to the beach.
Well, he had gone through many months under fire. He spent the entire tour from D-Day to VE Day in an infantry company.
Mm-hmm.
He was commanding a mortar section, then later a heavy machine gun platoon, and then a mortar platoon. And the last 2 months of the war, he was a rifle company commander. And at the time, spent a lot of that commanding tanks, tank destroyers, half tracks, as well as the infantrymen and the drive across Germany.
Mm.
So he saw way more than his share of the action.
And right.
The irony was that on VE Day itself, it just as peace was taking hold, he was moved up to the battalion staff.
I see. Well, Craig, I'll tell you, I think we missed a whole segment here of commercials that we were supposed to stop for. We got so engaged here. And so let me check back with the studio. Scott, are we okay here, or where are we? We are going to commercial. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Craig Chapman on Bill Martinez Live.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world with freedom and justice. Amen.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Craig, we're so engaged here, we just went right through the commercials, but it's just such an engaging story, your book, Battle Hardened, an infantry officer's harrowing journey from D-Day to VE Day. Craig Chapman spent 30 years managing dual careers in telecom network sales and the U.S. Army National Guard. As an author, he has combined his lifelong passion for historical research with his expertise as an infantry officer to write a Civil War story more terrible than victory, an insightful commentary on military history subjects. And you can go to Craig Chapman, CraigSChapman.com for all the information. Craig, for you, yes, as an author writing history, and then you have the opportunity to write your father's story, wow, what was that like for you?
Well, to be honest with you, what we really wanted to do as a family, we wanted to get my father to write his own experience down. He could talk about it. He'd relate to all these stories. But he was very reluctant to write anything. And we really started pressing him on the issue. And I finally got him to agree once that, okay, I'll start it. And to be honest about it, he made almost no effort. It was strange. He just did not want to write about it. And he later came back and said, well, why don't you write about it? You've heard the stories enough times anyway. And that's eventually what we had to do after he passed away in 2002. But very interesting. He could talk about it, but the idea of sitting down and writing about his own personal experiences was just something that he didn't want to do.
Well, a lot of times this is what people have co-authors, and I couldn't think of a better co-author than his own family to have. And your father, William Paul Chapman, an infantry officer with the 4th Infantry Division, serving on the front lines in the great Allied effort to liberate Western Europe and defeat Nazi Germany. Again, the front lines that World War II delivered. Gosh, I don't know how much worse it can get than that.
Well, it was it's hard for us in this day and age to appreciate the scale of combat of World War II. Just to give you an idea, in the first week after D-Day, my father, who was a mortar section leader, had been wounded. His senior platoon leader, the mortar platoon, had been wounded. His battalion commander, or his company commander, had been wounded, the heavy weapons company commander. His battalion commander had been killed, and the regimental commander had been wounded. So, literally, the troops in his mortar section had lost their chain of command from second lieutenant to full colonel in a matter of 1 week.
Wow.
And the regiment, this is one single regiment, lost something like 960 soldiers in the first 7 days after landing on Utah Beach.
You know, this is a testimony in and of itself. I mean, if you can comprehend what that must have done at the ground level with these soldiers to lose that kind of leadership in such a short period of time. But I guess it's, this is why your book is so appropriately titled Battle Hardened. The men there on the ground, on the front lines, you talk about being battle hardened, what they learned. I mean, you can't go to college for this kind of stuff, Craig.
No, and sadly, I have to report in my analysis of the archives that the American Army wasn't fully prepared for what was going to happen in the Northern European campaign against the Germans. And to be honest, and to follow along comments made by other historians like Max Hastings and Anthony Beaver, the American Army, the British Army, the Allies, the Western Allies, struggled in the Normandy campaign, and it was just through sheer will and a lot of casualties that they eventually ruptured the German defense. But what I did find very interesting, though, as the campaign progressed, the situation flip-flopped. At the end of the war, the German army had fallen apart. Their troops' morale had completely cracked. And you had SS fanatics just rounding up a mishmash of German soldiers, putting them on the front line. And it was the American army who just plowed right through them. As an historian, I find it refreshing on one hand to see the growth and the learning and the adaptation of the American army as the war progressed.
And thank God they had time. And they had time to progress to get through that process, because there were many times throughout this, as you know, as a historian, looking at this, going, but for, one campaign being lost, it had been a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yes. And it was a tremendous struggle. And oddly enough, for Germany to perpetuate the war into the last few months was just disastrous to the German people. And it's maybe a lesson about the cruelty of Nazi Germany and the suffering of their own citizens to prolong a war for nothing more than Hitler's refusal and the German high command's refusal just to accept the fact that they had lost the war.
Exactly. Well, Craig, if there are one or two things that you would want the reader to take away from your book, what would it be?
I think it would be to gain an appreciation for what these soldiers went through in some pretty horrific combat, and the lesson that we must never allow the world to fall into that type of situation again. But if we do, this is what it's going to take to fight and prevail.
And there's no doubt that because of World War I, World War II and Nazi Germany was able to have their way because Adolf Hitler understood the world did not have a stomach for war. Right. We're told that there are seasons in our life. It's just a God-given clock that occurs, that there is a time for peace and a time for war. And when you get those and you misunderstand those seasons and times, you pay a cost. And certainly the world paid a big cost because it did not understand that we were in a season for war. And it took the Japanese drawing us in, and then all hell broke loose.
Right. The politicians and the diplomats in the pre-war period did not recognize the inevitability of the collision that was about to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, they did not prepare for it, and they were unable to prevent it. To horrific losses suffered by the world.
And the legacy that Battle Hardened points to, the legacy of young men and women who are willing to stand up for the values of this country and ensure the freedoms that we enjoy today, it is truly awesome, isn't it?
Yes. I gained a great appreciation for the American soldier and what it took to learn how to adapt to these tremendously awful conditions.
Well, Craig, we thank your father for his service, yours as well. Your father, William Paul Chapman, an infantry officer who is brought to life here and memorialized in Battle Hardened, an infantry officer's harrowing journey from D-Day to VE Day. Your book available at all the usual places, and it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Craig Chapman, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you. And you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy, they mean something. Bill Martinez, live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here with you, and we're going to talk the whole situation on healthcare once again. You know, we've been focused on it. You know my feelings pretty clearly about it, that I believe in self-responsibility. I would like for us to have as much responsibility and as much opportunity to control our own health as opposed to having bureaucrats in D.C. that have little to do with it. I don't want Marco Rubio in the middle of my conversation about my health between me and my doctor. That's just the way I feel about it. But here to tell us more and to break it down is this ongoing debate about health care. He's an insurance expert, Jeff Cantor. He's the co-founder of My Academy of Health Excellence, putting health back into healthcare, control medical expenses, any doctor or hospital. What a novel concept. Jeff Cantor, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I am very good today. How are you then, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. This whole healthcare debate is just nerve-wracking for me, Jeff, as I'm sure it is for you, because for you, it's very personal. It's up close. You're dealing with this on behalf of, you know, your clientele and people who follow you. This debate just keeps on going endlessly. And of course, you've got the Democrats who, I think contributed to this whole mess, doing everything they can just to, make it more difficult, as opposed to coming alongside and saying, look, as a bipartisan effort, unlike what happened the first time, can we, set, partisanship aside for the sake of we the people, for the constituencies that you serve, in order to put out something that could be meaningful for all concerned.
I actually have to pause because it's almost a comical question, frankly, yeah. Bill, because, you know, I was just thinking through how I was going to respond based on what you said. But the reality is that they both sides have one goal in mind, which is to appease everybody and at least all of their constituents, which is a near impossibility. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, you know, what I've been pointing out, the entire initial mistake is it's not designed from the patient up. Everything is somehow idea of coming from the top down. Whoever's at the top keeps to be a changing cavalcade. But none of this is designed around the idea of working from the bottom up.
Exactly.
And that's really why it will never function properly. Just what you said before, that personal responsibility mentality, it has to start there. Look, when I go shop for gasoline or whatever, you know, I just go around until I figure out the one that's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And none of what we're discussing, and any of what's on all these shows, it's just like absurd to hear them discuss this because of that one single reality is like lost on all of them.
Well, Jeff, I kept asking from day one, remember the whole driving force was, we had this big donut hole of 30 million people that were not covered. And my question all along has been, with that 30 million that started this whole situation, that opened the door to this national health care program, how many of those people have we actually served? You know, how did we move the needle on those 30 million people? And I can't get a straight answer because it's all homogenized. And, you know, they don't want to be held accountable. They keep it oblique so that somehow they can claim some sort of victory. But I'm going, wait a minute, you guys don't even, you're not even playing by the, what are the rules, you know?
Well, it just seems like everybody needs to have their thumb on the scale or their finger in the pie, however you want to analogize it. I just keep trying to get from anybody the straight answer of how did I go from the doctor visiting me at home when I was sick mm-hmm. and paying them when they were done to now I have to drive in the car to their place and I have a small copay.
Mm-hmm.
How did all of that occur? Because exactly what you're describing, everybody needs to be involved in it somehow, so which is only going to create more and more layers and more people that need to get paid, which drives costs, which has nothing to do with taking care of you or me as a patient.
No. And then remind me of how effective our bureaucracy has been, because we've got so many great examples, Jeff, of when the bureaucracy comes in, everything is running so much better because, you know, our government has taken over.
Well, again, it's the same thing. You have to imagine. I just ask everybody, what do you think government is? Have you ever worked at an office where there's a bunch of, you know, knuckleheads working down there? Mm-hmm. It's no different. And they're just shuffling around to get through the day, but there's so many people engaged now. I deal with a lot of doctors, and all they lament is we knew we were in trouble when we had more people in the front office than we had doctors in the back.
Exactly.
So, and that's exactly why everything's become so complicated. People getting, you know, can't get in. Doctors spending too much time doing paperwork, all this burnout, and none of that has to do with taking care of the patient, like I keep getting back to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, I think we're so mired in this deal, it's almost a fait accompli that somehow the Republicans, Democrats, somebody wants some sort of political prize out of this deal at the expense of our health care, and this thing is just going to get more and more mired. I've been encouraging on our show that people have take their self-responsibility, go negotiate with their doctors. I've been a direct pay guy for 12 years. I've worked out, negotiated deals with every doctor that I need on a daily basis to handle the things for my family at a lot less than what, you know, these insurance programs do. We've talked with, you know, for example, Josh Umber with Atlas MD, and what they do is for $50 a month, it's concierge service, $50 a month, you can see the doctor as many times you want. And this is taking care of your daily health issues. Prescriptions have already been pre-negotiated at 10%, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. You know, so they've got the right idea. I mean, we can deliver health care, and this is about the delivery of health care, true health care, at a reasonable rate. And just as you said earlier, whether it has to do with gasoline, the price of telephones or whatever on down the line, when the free market is allowed to work, it's proven itself time and again. But somehow, you know, the government wants to get into areas that certainly is not part of its expertise. The founding fathers never said that, you know, the number one job of the bureaucracy was to deliver health care to its constituents.
No, nor in anything else. Strictly just to more or less act as the referee. Make sure mm-hmm. contracts are honored, people don't hurt each other. That's about the extent of it. But, yeah, you're right. They've become involved all over. And what you're describing about being a self-pay patient and getting all these things negotiated is really the ultimate option. You know, the sad reality is that most people don't have the, you know, inclination to do it as you aggressively did, or have the ability or the know-how or the time or any other kind of thing. I mean, that's kind of what caused us to really proliferate as we have, because we realized that. So by creating what we're calling the Health Freedom Hub, which is where all of the free market things related to your health all get to reside together, so you have a kind of a singular place to go, and providing you with a concierge-type person who can answer questions and direct you around in there so you don't have to become the armchair expert.
Exactly.
We have to put a site together. Let me give you a real quick, Bill. Yes. HealthExcellencePlus.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for people to kind of get one idea of something that you could do along the lines of what you're describing, because either you can get a BPC doctor or you try to negotiate with a pharmacist or whatever you can work out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways that can be done, and that's what most people don't realize, is they think that insurance is the only way to get to some way to get their health taken care of.
Exactly. Well, Jeff, this is why I wanted you on the show to talk about this, because my goal is I'm thinking if we could get a third of America moving on a plan like this, how much pressure would this take off, you know, on the other programs? And the other people will figure it out sooner or later, and they'll go, hey, you know, my neighbor's using this, and yeah, they're doing well, doing fine. You know, why am I paying $2,400 a year, you know, for something that I just basically, what I got is I got an insurance card. That's what I paid for. I paid for that and the right to, you know, have all these, you know, spurious, you know, charges and upcharges and copays and everything else. And it's like, you know, how does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. You know, and actions always speak louder than words. And as you notice, there was kind of a little spike of enrollments in the Affordable Care Act here at the beginning of the selling season. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of people came to a realization that the Republicans were not going to repeal or replace. And so all the fence sitters that said, well, I got to have something, said, well, I might as well just get it after all.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was
yeah.
a bit of a spike up. But, you know, what's most interesting is what's happened in the last year with doctors. Because historically, we've talked mostly to consumers, but, you know, a little bit peripherally with doctors. But in the last year, we've had a lot of doctors join this Health Freedom Hub approach because they said, you know what, we need to be the ones to get insurance out of the office. The consumer doesn't understand they have options. They just have been sold this hook, line, and sinker by the media or just their friends or however it proliferates. But the doctors know there's options.
Exactly.
Homeopathic, naturopathic, DPC doctors, they know there are options.
Yeah.
So they're helping join in with us to do just what you said. How do we get that army of people? Well, we thought it was going to be the consumers. It's turning out to be the doctors are the army of people rebelling against this.
Hey, Jeff, you have a couple more minutes. I'd like to keep you on for another segment if we could. All right, good. Stay with us. More from Jeff Cantor, co-founder of My Academy of Health Excellence, right after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now.
And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're an unincorporated business owner, it's too late for you. That is, if you've already been sued and lost your home, your car, and your personal life savings. But if you haven't been sued yet, there is still time to incorporate and protect your personal assets. And the first step is just a phone call away. Because Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation toolkit to all business owners, including exclusive information on how to start and grow your business. For your free incorporation toolkit, call now 1-800-936-9256. Incorporation is the shield that protects your personal assets. Without it, you could lose everything. That's why at Incorporate.com, they just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. They don't provide legal or financial advice. If someone sues tomorrow, will you lose everything? Don't wait until it's too late. Call now for your free incorporation toolkit. Hurry, they're still giving them away for free at 1-800-936-9256. Call 1-800-936-9256. That's 1-800-936-9256.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55. But with treatment, it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Jeff Cantor remains with us. He is a healthcare insurance expert, co-founder of My Academy of Health Excellence. Jeff, you got me on the edge of my seat here. I want to hear more about your program, what it is that you have to offer, because I want to open this up to our audience and to their network of relatives and friends and associates that need to take control of their health care. Quit waiting on the Republicans. Obviously, this thing is so mired, and you got to go back and remember how long it took for the Affordable Care Act to get. It wasn't like Barack Obama came in and 2 days later it was done, which, you know, is kind of comical, you know, when you hear some of the politicians and the pundits talk about, you know, putting down the Republicans. Well, they've got this and they got control of that and whatever, and look what they're doing. I mean, you know, it's obviously, this is a very complex deal, and as you had said at the onset, the problem is that, you know, in typical, you know, federal form, you're trying to get a one-size-fits-all. Well, the problem is that not everybody, you know, everybody can get a cold, but it's not always the same cold, is it?
No, you know, it's interesting. You've learned a lot being involved in this over time. And interesting, if I had 10 different people and administered the same dosage of drug to all 10, we'd get 10 different reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is really, really different. And you have to look at the beginning, and that's the thing most people don't understand, the history of where we've gotten, and that's a long dissertation. But it really got going in the 40s, because prior to that, you really just paid for stuff as you went, or charity or whatever, and nobody really suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But during the war, they didn't really want to have a lot of salary increases, so they started allowing the government to treat write-offs by giving people health benefits, and suddenly getting health became tied to your job.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time that that began to occur, and then the more they got involved and involved and involved, well, guess what, now where we are today, where now they need to control the whole thing because cost and this and that, everything becomes out of control, and everybody can't figure out, well, how did they get all the way in control? That took a long time, but here they are.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that is the sad reality. We got to get back to what was working before we let the whole thing get all mucked up.
Yeah, and to your point here, and this, I want everybody to catch this, because my producer reminds me of this all the time. He goes, Bill, before the Affordable Care Act, I had insurance through my job. I don't have insurance now. I got to go through all these hoops and everything else. And I believe that the politicians owe the people a humongous apology for what they have done to them. But the thing is they're not screaming loud enough. It's the pundits. It's all these other people who are ill-affected, which cracks me up. Is like, look at you put the government on the same health care program that we have, and watch how fast things change, right?
Well, look at the VA. That's the perfect example
we'd
like to point to, as a single-payer mentality, because lo and behold, you know, that really kind of is very much a single-payer idea. The government's paying into this VA pool, and the VA go there. Well, look at all the complaints. So what would you expect? My favorite analogy of all is to go to the grocery store and look at the coffee aisle.
Exactly.
Look at all the variety it requires. How can there be a single approach to medicine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so all the options, everything that federalism, everything that our country has done that we've got a litany of successes built on, we want to obliterate that and somehow look to the government for the answer? How does that make sense?
Well, even if it did somehow, you know, the problem is once they pick a lane, they stick to it. They're not keen to make a say they made a mistake or shift gears. And you know yourself, at any popular store or clothing or whatever it may be, the fashions come and go. The building may still be there. You know, we still need the infrastructure of health, but all the tools continually change. Yet a government program is always designed around whatever was good in 1930, whatever, is still good today, and they just function as if nothing has changed.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting is that, yes, it is dynamic, and they figure, like, once they've passed something, that's it. I mean, this is part of the problem that I have, Jeff, with the Democrats. The Democrats knew it was problematic, and I don't know what they were thinking for 7 years, that somehow they didn't need to repair it. They knew that it was all coming to this end, and all they could do was hope and pray that, you know, the Democrats would remain in office. But boy, the tea leaves were right there. It was more than tea leaves. I mean, you didn't have to be some sort of genius. I mean, you're losing seats. You're losing, you know, state houses. You're losing power left and right. You're leaking oil, and you do nothing. You do nothing about it, and you just allow America to suffer, you know, through this horrendous experiment, this botched up experiment. And this is why I, again, Jeff, and as you are, I'm just encouraging people to take self-responsibility. Do not wait on the government. You know, go ahead and act on your own. And so what's your prescription, Jeff, right now?
No, you really pretty much nailed it on the head. I mean, you know, the whole adage is you're only a leader as long as you have followers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if everybody just follows the insurance model, then guess what? Then they can stay in business and they'll just keep you hostage. If you say, you know what, I don't need any of you people anymore, and you literally turn your back, they're forced to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the perfect example is when McDonald's and Burger King were predominant, and how is Wendy's going to compete against that monolith? But they invented the 99-cent value menu, they brought out salads, and they forced those other two entities to move towards them.
Exactly.
And so really, we as consumers, millions and millions and millions of us, we can readily control the small amount of people that run that whole cartel, yet somehow we think that we're like that elephant. Instead of having a chain, we've got a little string, and we think we're
exactly
shackled.
Yep.
We can escape.
Yeah, exactly. But it takes a step. And for some, it may be seemingly a bold step. And in some cases, what I hear often, Jeff, after people have done this, go, what took me so long?
Well, it's like anything, a fear of that unknown. I mean, but there is, it can be a little daunting because there's a lot to suddenly know, and pricing has never been known. So to tell you, you know, you suddenly have to go shop for gasoline, it won't be too hard to learn to do it because everything posts its price.
Right.
So that's, again, partially why we created what we did, because we knew that people were going to walk into this dark world and need a way, a helping hand to readily navigate it, but to begin to save money, to begin to accelerate that free market, to begin to connect with the right kind of doctors that are conducive to this, to meet those direct primary care doctors, all of those things are vital for someone to be successful. And the reality is this needs to be successful right away, because otherwise it will be stymied by the powers that be. So
exactly.
Partially the idea is to facilitate this fast acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd certainly encourage anybody to go take a look at what we've got to show out there for this solution. And again, there's other resources that we can be pointing you to, too. So I would tell you to go to that healthexcellenceplus.com. And see if that sounds like something up your alley.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to take it anymore. You can do this. I mean, this is what we love about this country. We are free. You know, this is the land of the free. And so you got to act free, okay? Take advantage of this deal. Quit waiting on these politicians to keep you kind of in suspended animation here when your health is at risk here. So I think what Jeff has to offer, you know, I mean, the reason, Jeff, that you co-founded My Academy of Health Excellence is because you saw the deficiency. And you saw an opportunity. And what I want to you know, kind of encourage you to understand, I'm talking about you, the listener, is that this is a process. You haven't done this before. This is something new. It's kind of like in the old days. I remember when Excel first came out with their Excel spreadsheet. There were so many options with it. It was overwhelming, you know, until you kind of learned to kind of get through the process, and then it started to make sense. But it was an incredible, you know, software piece of document. But you needed to start the journey and start to learn. And then after a while, it became, you know, rather academic. And it's the same way with healthcare. I found, you know, in my experience is that, yeah, at first a little daunting, and you think, hey, can this really work? And you start talking to one, and doctors go, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll take you know, if you're gonna come with money, it's better that I deal with you than have it go through my insurance personnel, because I've got a person that I'm paying, you know, it's probably cost me about 35% to 40% of my fees in order to have her chase down insurance money that takes me anywhere from 90 to 120 days to be paid. So why would I not want to have the money today, and I can afford it at a lot less? The reason I have to charge $200 an appointment is because I have all these other expenses on top that I have to pay for. So, you know, you start out that way and you find out, look at the market is open for this. And what does it mean? It means you actually get the delivery of health care that you always knew was there.
You know, you get further and further away from the care, the more it's going up cost-wise to the consumer. They either don't have it or they try not to use it, kind of a thing, or they use it not enough for it to even hit any deductibles.
Exactly.
And then from the doctor, like you said, it's harder and harder to collect. And think of it from why the doctors, you know, the more I've been involved, I've been 30 years in the industry all told, and with, you know, consumers primarily, so you always hear what they have to say, but as it become more involved over time, you start to hear more what the doctors say. And think about any business that you would be in where you don't quite know what you're going to get paid. You submit one thing you think is what you're going to get paid. They send back, no, we're going to decline that. We're going to pay you a different one, but we're not going to pay you for this many days. Or
right.
Redo the paperwork. Can you imagine running a business where that was the nature of getting paid, and if something is as vitally important as your health?
Exactly.
And they have a bunch of clerical people, not to denigrate any of them, but, you know, they're not the sophisticated level that ideally the doctors are operating on, and they're spending more time with them than they are with the patients. So the whole thing is a recipe for consumer disaster when it comes to your health.
And this is what we've been living through here, Jeff, sadly, for the last 8 years. And if it's going to change, it's going to be up to the individual citizen making an individual liberty-based choice. Jeff, as we wrap things up, the healthcare insurance expert that you are, co-founder of My Academy of Health Excellence, remind everybody where they can go to start that journey of health freedom, true health freedom. What do they do?
Well, the first thing I want to just comment on what you said was the idea of the individual making that choice. Well, guess who the individuals are in this entire world we're describing here? The doctors and the patients are the only two individuals. Everything else are corporate monoliths or government. So
exactly.
Just to put everybody in perspective on that. For our set of circumstances, and we have other programs and sites you can visit as well, but the main one to visit is healthexcellenceplus.com. And there you'll learn an awful lot about options and all the components you need, because just having health insurance alone is not enough. That's like having a knife, and I have a big enough knife or whatever. No, you need a Swiss Army knife with all of the different components that make it up. So from that site, you'll be able to learn about all the elements you need to make up a total universe for your health, and there's a lot you can do on your own.
Yeah,
you'll be amazed.
Exactly.
A lot of options available that were right there, like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, those ruby slippers. She could have gotten out of there anytime she wanted. She just didn't know she had the power to do it. And
exactly.
We all have that power.
Exactly.
We all have the power, Bill.
But we got to exercise it. Jeff Kanner, co-founder.
Exercise it.
My Academy of Health Excellence. Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the time.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.